I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
No. I'm being scary,
as he tells the cougar who was stalking him away from her cubs.
Roar!
I must say, I don't know if I would have been that cool under pressure.
Whatever he did must have worked, because we all got to see the tape.
Yeah, and hey, 7 minutes. Mm-hmm. He walked basically backwards, up hills, through different areas of forest, and was doing that to prevent this cougar that
honestly
followed
him. Just put the video away?
No, well,
why are we recording the video?
That's what I was thinking.
He was passing on YouTube.
He was passing all kinds of rocks, too. Like, I would have been anything to get the cougar to stop following.
You're not supposed to. I watched a show called Alone, and it was on the History Channel. It's on Prime now. They put him out in the middle of nowhere, and bears and stuff come mess with them. All you have to do is what you're supposed to do is just be big and make noises like he did, and they're supposed to go away. You're not supposed to show it fear.
But if you turn your back to it.
What?
Why is the guy still videoing this situation?
We know that.
What is the point?
We know that. It's a story to tell for the rest of your life.
Isn't that something that
what? You ain't going to tell any story if you don't make it.
No, nowadays when you come into this type of situation, the thought process is, man, if I get this recorded and I live through this, this is going to be amazing. Not, I need to live through this, forget the recording. That's the crazy part. People have their priorities slightly mixed up. Indeed, they do.
I might pull out my phone. I might.
You would not.
I would be like, you'd be running as fast as those little tweetsies could carry.
My tweetsies. I'd be like, hey, Mr. Cougar, go away.
Anyway, Major League Baseball, NLCS into the fifth. Braves threatening to blow this bad boy open. Bases loaded, one out, top of the fifth. Braves up 4-0 over the Dodgers. Titans with a 14-10 lead about 6 minutes ago in the second quarter for some Tuesday night football. You're in listening to Gwynn and Chris, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello. And, man, Braves offense continues to click right now, it looks like, Chris.
Doing enough, and you know, the main thing to me is that zero next to the Dodgers. I mean, that's the thing that really surprises me. Going into this series, after just watching the Dodgers and how they were able to, you know, manufacture runs against the Padres, and you know, they beat the Padres in a sweep and only hit one home run. I didn't think that was possible. I thought they would need a lot more in the home run department, but you know, this team's so adept at doing whatever's necessary and getting on base, and they come up with one run last night on a solo home run, and they've yet to score tonight. They've stranded six runners tonight. They're 0-for-4 hitting with runners in scoring position. They've drawn five walks in this game, Tony, and have yet to cash in on that. That, to me, is the biggest surprise of all. The Atlanta pitching is just on some sort of streak right now. They've had four shutouts in their six playoff games. And I didn't think they could do that to the Dodgers. You know, I thought the Marlins was one thing. Maybe the Reds was another thing. But I thought, man, this Dodger team, there's just too many ways they can score runs. There's no way the Braves can be able to shut them down. And the Braves are still shutting them down. So, you know, I expect Atlanta to score some runs. But I also expect the Dodgers to score some runs. And that part of the equation is not happening right now.
Yeah, the Padres, if you think back to it, game one, they had chances to kick that door open and score runs. They left the bases loading in inning two. Game two, they put up some runs. The Padres were able to score some runs. So it's not a surprise to see an Atlanta offense that is as good as they are put some runs up. You just thought that at least the Dodgers would be able to keep close. And listen, it's only the fifth inning. They may be able to do so. But as you mentioned, in these first two games, they've only scored one run through about 14 innings right now. So they got some work to do. And now to get the scores 5-0 after Baez walked the bases loaded, run in from with the bases loaded, they could be in some serious trouble going down 2-0. Now, listen, you don't have to shift to go to Atlanta to play the next couple games. You'll still be right where you are, and it'll be interesting to see if the Dodgers can somehow mount a comeback. I've flipped to this Bills-Titans game a few times. The Titans are just moving the ball like it's nothing, like there's no resistance at all. It's been quite impressive to see.
They're well-rested. Considering,
but I say they've been well-rested, but they haven't been able to get many reps in practice-wise because they haven't had it. Their facility has been completely shut down. I expected that they would look rusty. That hasn't looked like the case so far early in that game. So, one
That's
quick
a team,
note
Tennessee.
I want.
They're both good teams. I think those
they
are two contenders. I really do. I think those are two teams that people aren't talking very much about in the AFC. Obviously, the Steelers are undefeated, so they're getting a lot the bulk of the attention because they got Roethlisberger and everybody knows who he is. And, you know, obviously the Chiefs are the defending Super Bowl champions, so everybody's going to be talking about them. But this Buffalo team was coming on at the end of last year, and, you know, they let that playoff game get away from them to Houston. I think that left a bad taste for them, and I think that they've used that as fuel for this year. And Tennessee, I mean, they were in the AFC Championship game last year. I mean, I think a lot of people kind of forget that they beat Baltimore and beat them easily in the playoffs to get to the championship game and had a lead on Kansas City. So that AFC's wide open, Tony. I mean, Kansas City, I know, is a Super Bowl team, but you got to consider Baltimore, you got to consider Pittsburgh, and I think you got to consider these two teams. I mean, that's five really good teams right there.
I was even ready to say the AFC is loaded. I mean, with some top-tier talent at the top, right? In the AFC, it's kind of hard to dissect who, aside from the Seattle Seahawks, who is in that tier, right?
Because Packers, maybe.
Packers, maybe, for sure. Yeah. After that, though, it's tough sledding, right? I mean, Packers,
yeah, I mean Tampa
Panthers.
Bay is trying to get – I mean, Brady doesn't look the same. Breeze, we talked about earlier, doesn't quite look the same. And it's five games, so those guys can obviously – and Brady has an excuse. He's still trying to get used to a new team, and I think Drew has a good excuse without Michael Thomas, and they're going to get a bye this week, the Saints, and that might be a
big
thing.
Either way, they're not there yet, right?
What's that?
I said either way, even with all that, they're not – at that top tier, where
no,
where we
no,
put
I don't
the
think
Bills,
so. I'm
Titans,
to, trying to
yeah,
think of other teams that could be, but the, and I'm to, you know, at Seattle with the 5-0. We talked about this the other day, Tony, or yesterday. Defensively, they're not very good. I mean, Seattle's good defensively because we think they're good defensively because they're always good, but they're not. They're really not. Teams move the ball, you know, against them easily. And you know, I really think Minnesota probably would have won that game the other night if Dalvin Cook didn't get hurt. And by the way, he's got a troubling injury, to be sure. I think it's a, what'd they say, an abdominal?
Growing, isn't it?
What was
it? Oh, is it a sports hernia then? It sounds like.
Yeah, something like that for Dalvin Cook. So that could be a problem for the Vikings. But, you know, when he went down, that game changed a little bit. But I'm not sold on Seattle's 5-0 other than how good Russell Wilson is. I mean, that, you know, and he makes up for a lot of mistakes everywhere else. But normally quarterbacks can't win by themselves. I mean, you got to have some, you know, the rest of your team around you. And I don't know that won't catch up to Seattle. Green Bay, I'm starting to come around. I don't want to come around because I badmouthed Matt LaFleur for about a year and a half now. But the bottom line is the guy's 17-3 as a coach. So, you know, maybe
it's
I have to
good.
Stop. What's that?
I said it's been pretty good.
Yeah, he's done pretty good. So maybe I have to kind of slow down on, you know, picking on that guy. I mean, I know Green Bay had the easy schedule last year, but they played some tough games this year, and they've won them. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers, you know, he just continues to play at such a super high level, and he doesn't have his top receiver, Davante Adams, or he hasn't had him for much of the year. Green Bay's got a good run. They got a good defense. So I don't know that Green Bay isn't the team to beat in the NFC over Seattle right now, but but the AFC's got a handful of them. So that's kind of the point you were making.
I think you know, I came into this NFL season expecting defenses to be a little softer than they are normally without the contact and a lot of the things that that defenses need to be successful. I look at that Seattle team much like I looked at the New Orleans team last year defensively. I think they're going to get better as the season goes along. I find it hard to believe that a Pete Carroll team won't be able to get it right defensively. That's his calling card. And that's the thing that's held that organization together as they've kind of, you know, added pieces on offense as Marshawn Lynch and different guys have moved on. You've obviously got a top-tier quarterback in Russell Wilson that's helped that, but the defense has kind of been the thing that's been the strength. But now, you know, looking at this team this year, clearly the offense is a far, far ahead of the defense. And if you're the Seattle Seahawks, you're certainly hoping that the defense can get it going before the season ends, because they're right. It's going to be hard for Russell to keep up the pace that he's on right now. I mean,
we
talked about it. He's on pace for like 70-something touchdowns at this point. So
yeah. We'll
see how that kind of goes. By the way, Atlanta has opened this game up 6-0 now in the top of the fifth. The Dodgers have made another pitching change. So things aren't looking good for the old Dodgers out there up north of us.
We're all brokenhearted. Should we take a minute to qualify our listener, Tony?
I think we should.
All right. You want to do the question or you want me to do
I will.
Question? You
do I'll the do the question today.
All right.
If you can get this right, you will win yourself a three-night stay with a round of golf.
Well, you want to qualify. You qualify to win.
That's right. Excuse me.
We
you qualify to win
this.
That.
Yeah.
$250 food and beverage credit at the Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino. You will qualify for this prize. The question is, what day did I think it was at the beginning of the show?
Very easy question if you've been listening to Gwen and Chris. Call us, 833-288-0973, and get in the qualifying round. This is a great prize.
Right. It's a really good prize. So I hope good luck to you contestants out there who are looking to qualify. All right, let's get to break. When we return, Greg Camarillo will join us. We'll talk some more NFL when we get back. This is Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station.
Back at you, Gwen and Chris. 5:17 is the time. Back to the stuff in just a second. But right now, joining us on the SDCCU fan hotline, one of our all-time show favorites, former NFL player, the Chargers, and with the Dolphins, Greg Camarillo joins us here on 97.3 The Fan. Greg, I know there's a lot going on in the National Football League right now. We're going to get to all of it. But Scraby wanted me to stop everything and ask you before we move forward what you thought of your old team's 43-17 demolition of the 49ers.
I never asked this.
Sunday. This is a crucial question. Then we got to get your thoughts on that fantastic performance by the old Miami Dolphins there.
Chris, I saw a picture of you on Twitter holding up a life-size Dolphins helmet and a tiny McDonald's drive-thru size helmet of the 49ers, and that summed it up right there. That was an outstanding punishment that the Dolphins put on the 49ers.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. We just wanted to make sure that Scraby's totally aware of that, and I'm sure he is.
I'm aware.
Yes, he is.
Before we go any further, I have something to address as well. Are you guys watching this Tuesday night football game in the studio?
Back and forth, kind of doing baseball. Oh. I only got one screen, so.
Derrick Henry just laid down what is possibly the greatest stiff arm I have ever seen in my life on Josh Norman, and I encourage you to check that out on social media. It was
we'll
glorious.
Poor Josh Norman. I feel like he's received a couple stiff arms in the last couple years that have been, like, video noteworthy. You know what I'm saying?
He could quit at halftime, and it would be totally understandable. Like, it was just pure disrespect.
That's a strong stiff arm. I got to ask you, Greg, because we talked before this season got underway, and all of us felt like there'd be no chance that this season would happen. Well, here we are.
Yeah.
We're moving along here, and the NFL is just moving schedule around, shifting the NFL schedule in order to fit these games in. How do you feel like it's going thus far?
Oh, man, I have never been more excited to be wrong. I did not think the season was going to happen. And here we are, and it's the best thing is we really don't have much to do on Sundays into the world, but we just get to sit on our couch all day and watch football. And really, it's a testament to two things. One, the NFL and the NFLPA for putting together a plan. And then two, to the players. That's where the biggest surprise is. These guys are obviously taking it incredibly seriously and living, you know, safe, almost virus-free lives, and it's allowing us to watch football. And I am super appreciative of everyone and their approach to it because we need this right now.
Real quick.
Greg, that was so perfectly said. So perfect.
Real quick follow-up to that because, for the most part, everybody has done a job. But when you see a report that it's pretty wide known that the Titans were moving around without masks, and you see the outbreak does that give you cause for concern, or do you think that is just a one team and they can make an adjustment?
They reportedly held a practice, a workout off-site during the time that they knew their team was infected. And to me, that type of behavior warrants forfeiting a game. So instead of everyone having to shift everything and people losing bye weeks, because if there was one team, I can't remember which team, that midway through the week just got announced that this is your bye week, so enjoy it. That doesn't work for me. And why should I be penalized because the Titans were being morons? If one guy gets it like Cam Newton, you know, you're not going to prevent that. But if a whole team does a workout when they're in the middle of an outbreak, that needs a punishment.
Yeah.
Greg Camarillo is with us on the SDCCU fan hotline. Big fan of that Dolphin victory over the 49ers on Sunday. Just thought I'd mention that. All right, Greg, let's get to some real NFL stuff. These two teams playing tonight, I think, are both very good. And Tony and I kind of both think they're a little bit under the radar in the AFC because I think obviously you're going to look at the Chiefs, you're going to look at the Ravens, and the Steelers are undefeated. But these two teams, I think, can play with those teams. It's early, but who do you like in that group in the AFC? Because I think it's kind of jumbled at the top right now a little bit.
I am a Bill-lever. I am on board with the Buffalo Bills. And a friend and former teammate, Jacques Césaire, who was a defensive lineman for the Chargers for a decade, is now a coach in Buffalo. And I got a chance to talk with him over the summer. He was just super excited about the team. And he had me sold that they were going to be good. And he was right. You know, and the most impressive thing is the growth of Josh Allen from last year to this year. And you can credit a lot of that for having Stephon Diggs. But the guy is playing outstanding football. And, you see it on the air tonight. His athleticism is showing. He's worked on his completion percentage by being more accurate, but the dude is just athletic. People are blitzing, they're unblocked, and he avoids them, keeps his eyes down the field, is making throws, and that's really the big difference. Their offense is strong. Their offense is having big plays. And then, Chris, you know this from the AFC East, being a Dolphins fan, no one was ever able to win that division because of the Patriots, but now with Tom Brady gone, the door is open, and I think the Bills are going to jump right through that door.
I agree.
Yeah, by the way, Greg, Josh Norman's day just got a little worse. Pass interference call on third down here, about to get off the field. So not only has he been stiff-armed that we'll probably see on not top 10 here soon, but he's also keeping his team on the field. Let me ask you about Oakland, the Las Vegas Raiders. All of a sudden,
that's another team I didn't even mention, huh?
Yeah, we did mention them in the AFC at all, but this team looks to be a very John Gruden-esque team. They run the ball, they play action, they get the ball down the field. Derek Carr has played pretty well over the season. What's been your take on this Raider team? Because the focus, as we mentioned, has been mainly on Baltimore and the Chiefs, the Steelers off to an undefeated start. But some of these teams in AFC, which looks pretty deep right now, are kind of flying under the radar.
Yeah, and I know the Raiders just beat the Chiefs, but I'm still a believer that the Chiefs will win that division. But, the most impressive thing about the Raiders, we saw this last week, is when you approach Kansas City, you have to approach it with one of two mentalities. One, we are going to just get into an old-fashioned shootout and try to score more points than them, which would be like trying to score 45, 50 points. Or you could take the approach, we're going to run the ball, we're going to control time of possession and keep Patrick Mahomes off the field. Yeah. And they succeeded in doing both. They had huge plays, huge momentum plays, and then totally dominated the time of possession. And we are really yet to see anybody do that against the Chiefs. And so that just tells me that they are a team that is for real this year because, you know, they showed it against one of the best teams.
Greg Camarillo is with us. Let's talk about Russell Wilson and the level that he's playing at right now, Greg. It seems like a couple of things. A, he's on fire. B, the Seattle defense hasn't been, you know, the usual Seattle defense yet, which is forcing him to, you know, play from behind and put up big numbers. And I think those things kind of combine a little bit, because to me, if it was the same old Seattle defense, he probably would be, you know, running some clock and wouldn't be pushing the ball down the field as much. But he needs to do this in order to win right now. Is this as high a level as you've seen from a quarterback in a while?
He definitely needs to be the MVP to this point. Granted, there's a lot of season left, but he's playing unreal football. And when you're on a football team, all you want to believe is that we still have a chance to win this game. And when Russ is out there, you pretty much always still have a chance to win that game. And we saw that the other night when, you know, you give him the ball with a couple minutes left and you're fine. Like, you know, you're gonna win the game. But what's been most fun for me to watch is DK Metcalf. Clearly, I'm a receiver.
I was going to ask about that,
receivers.
Too.
He is a grown man. So he's like 6'4", almost 240, and runs a 4.33. You cannot guard that. And then on top of that, he's got great hands. Russ is finding him. You know, he's got great accuracy finding him. But, I mean, this dude is going to be making plays for years, because there's literally no DB stronger than him. There's no DB taller than him. There's basically no DB faster than him. So you put all those together, and that is a great weapon for Russ to be thrown to.
Greg, last one for me. Lamar Jackson, their team is doing well. They've got the one loss in the year, yet he's not quite playing up to par, at least what he played his MVP level last year. What are you seeing teams do to him differently this year that makes it a little bit of a different job?
Yeah, so, you know, we got to watch – Lamar versus Patrick Mahomes. And, you know, it's very easy to argue that those are the two best quarterbacks. And we got to see the difference between, let's say, number one is Patrick Mahomes and number two is Lamar Jackson. And to me, it's accuracy on deep passes. So they both can run. Lamar Jackson is amazing when he takes off. But the difference to me is when there's a 45, 50-yard pass down the field, Patrick Mahomes puts it on the money almost every time. There were a few where Lamar Jackson is missing by like 6 inches. It's not much, but that's the difference between having a momentum swinging type play or a big touchdown. And I think that's kind of, you know, where they're lacking that explosion. And he's still amazing. Let me not sound like I'm dogging on him, because he's an amazing quarterback. But to me, that's the difference between Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, is just that little bit of accuracy.
Greg, last thing, I you played in a very good era for offense, but you didn't play in this era for offense. And I just wonder, as you sit and watch some of these games on Sunday, if you kind of wish, I mean, it almost seems like two-hand touch the way they're playing on receivers. You can't go near a quarterback anymore. The scores themselves are, you know, 45-38 and 38-35. And, you know, I mean, you put up five touchdowns and you lose. This is what the NFL wants. Do you think it's all good, or would you rather just see a little bit more defense somewhere along the line? I know I'm asking a wide receiver this question, so I'll probably regret it.
Yeah, you are. And I know I am I'm responding to a traditionalist, and I know you'd like to see some good trench warfare. But I personally love it. I mean, that's, you know, when you flip on SportsCenter, you're seeing highlights of offensive plays. You're not seeing a team grinding out a 3.5-yard run, because it's just – for most of us, it's not as exciting. I want to see that big catch. And, you know, when I was in the league, sometimes on a couple of teams, I was like fourth on the depth chart, and we barely went four wide, so I didn't play that much. But nowadays, if you're the fourth wide receiver, you are getting action. I like to see the fun. I like to see the big passes and the big arms. But, yeah, I'm cool with it.
I got to say, I
like the idea of the four wide receivers.
Me too.
That I don't mind that. I just wish that the guys were allowed to guard him, that's all. Or at least try to guard him.
There are times where I feel bad for DBs, and that takes a lot for me to say that. But you can't touch a guy. You have to run backwards, and now you can't hit a guy. You can't accidentally hit a guy in the head. It is hard to be a DB, but, you know, that's just life right now.
by the way, Greg, I just got a glimpse of Derrick Henry's stiff arm. Oh my gosh. That is stiff arm of the century right there. That's how good it was.
It's both glorious and disrespectful at the same time.
It's a bad man. It's a bad man. Greg Camarillo's a good man. We love having him on the program, talking football. Greg, thanks so much for the time. Having you on the program, as always, and look forward to catching up with you down the road. Thanks again.
Nice chatting with you guys.
Always fun. Greg Camarillo Greg. On the SDCCU fan hotline. SDCCU online and mobile banking lets you do your banking from your smartphone. Messages and data rates may apply. For details, visit SDCCU.com. Bottom of the hour, we'll take a quick timeout. I think the Dodgers wish they could take a timeout, Tony. I mean, this is unreal, what's going on in the NL Championship Series, although we're loving it. 6-0 Atlanta, and they're looking for more in the top of the sixth inning. We'll keep you up to date on all the baseball, the Tuesday night NFL football, and get into a countdown when we return. Stick around. More Gwen and Chris coming your way on 97.3 The Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
.534 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, full slate today. Yes.
Are you and Scraby? I know you guys like to get together and talk about things. Are you guys getting together to start talking about my Christmas present yet?
Ooh.
Sounds like a no.
We have.
Okay.
We have not yet.
All right. Yet is the key word.
By the way, it is early October. We got some time.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. Because Scraby and I obviously have already been discussing your gift, you know, for the last month.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, the reason I'm bringing it up right now is because I need a new computer so badly. I just clicked on the Derrick Henry stiff arm of Josh Norman. And you know that little thing that goes around and around and buffers for like an hour?
I'm familiar.
Yes.
Still buffering. So it's been buffering for so long. I don't think I'm ever going to get to see this the stiff arm unless I...
Just stare at it until it comes true.
No, I can't. I don't have the patience. I do not have the patience. I don't know about you guys out there, but like when I click a page, if it doesn't come up right away, I'm just like, I don't need to go to that page.
I think we also have to remind everyone...
I do the same thing.
I think we also have to remind everyone that Chris is using Windows 98 on his computer. So.
Is it that recent? I didn't even know it was that recent.
It's Windows 3.1?
Well, I know that there's a little yellow strip up here at the top that says, this computer will no longer receive Google Chrome updates because Windows XP and Windows Vista are no longer supported.
Well, there you go.
Does that mean I'm using Windows XP and Windows Vista?
I'm assuming you're using XP, but yeah, that's a non-supported operating system.
I took my computer in to get it tuned up about 2 months ago because I was tired of, you know, everything taking so long. And the guy honestly took one look at me and like I was from the Stone Ages. And basically just gave me the computer back and said, I can't do anything with this.
He just gave it.
He didn't
want
to waste his time. No. Like, I can't do nothing, man.
We don't have the equipment to deal with stuff from this era, sir. I'm sorry. But the thing is I need to keep my computer. You guys got to help me out on this. I need to keep my computer because it does have all of the files, you know, that I like that have the information, and I can't. They're so old, I can't transfer them to a newer computer.
Yes, you can.
You sure?
I'm positive.
Absolutely can.
You put it in the cloud.
Put what? Eh?
What is that?
He's talking Spanish now, huh?
Yeah,
I can please, help you with
please
this.
Come back with, to me in English here.
I
what?
Can help you with this. If you, I'm sure that your wife, your lovely wife, Lori, has a Dropbox or has a Google Drive or something like that. You just put all those files in there, and then they're stored in the cloud forever, and then you get a new computer, and then you download all your files again.
And they and I'd be able to like see they wouldn't come out in like hieroglyphics?
They might actually. Now that I think about it,
yeah.
You can't see, that's use what Microsoft happens, Word might, one.
Because see, I have a desktop that is from the Dark Ages, and then I have a laptop which is from the New Ages, and the laptop is what I use to do the Zoom chat and talk to you guys during the show. But whenever I've I hope this isn't too boring, but we needed to kill a little time before we got to the countdown. Sorry. But when I transfer stuff from the desktop to the laptop, the file will transfer. But when I click on it and open it up, there's no writing there. It's just a bunch of weird, you know,
well, here's my
hieroglyphics,
thing.
Basically.
Hieroglyphics, as I said. Yeah.
I think I know why, because if you don't have Microsoft, I'm assuming you're using Microsoft Word on your problematic computer. Is that correct?
I don't know.
Okay.
On the old one?
Yes.
Microsoft Vista, whatever that was.
That's the operating system. Microsoft Word is your word processing software.
Microsoft Word is what it appears to be, yes.
Well, if you don't have Microsoft Word on your new computer, then it won't open correctly because Microsoft Word is stupid.
Okay.
And you need to buy
Microsoft
Word. I just
thought I was
Word.
Stupid. So
no,
that's
no,
good
not
know.
You. Not you.
Yes, I am. All right, before we get to the countdown, quick update on everything going on. In the sports world, which is why you've tuned into this particular talk show, I'm sure. Braves are shutting Dodgers again, 6-0. This is unreal. Dodgers have one hit in this game, and that was a single by Justin Turner. Braves
not
pitching
win any games, by the way.
No, Braves pitching has walked 6 in 5 innings. Now you would think if you do that to the Dodgers, it's going to just come back to nail, you know, get you. But the Dodgers right now cannot come up with a big hit. They cannot come up with any hits. They're 0-for-4 hitting with the runners in scoring position. Meanwhile, Freddie Freeman's going MVP crazy. He's got a 2-run homer. He's got an RBI single. And the Braves have had a run walked in. And they've picked up some other insurance tallies. And now 6-0 Atlanta in the bottom of the 6th. The Dodgers have scored 1 run in this series. This is so amazing. I'm not surprised that Atlanta has 6. I'm stunned that the Dodgers have 0 and only scored 1 last night. But I'm telling you, Tony, you just wonder if the Dodgers are starting to press a little bit. Can you press this early in a series?
Yeah, absolutely. You can press. You feel it?
Absolutely.
You know when your offense isn't clicking going into a series. And I tell you this. I don't know if you guys recall. Remember, I had Dave Roberts on our podcast a few weeks back, and I recall telling you guys what he said. He was very candid. He said, "We will repeat the same October if Cody Bellinger and Max Muncy don't get going." And I know Bellinger had a homer in the series against the Padres, but other than that, it's quiet. Max Muncy, quiet. And that has continued into these first two games of the series. And the reality is what made their D offense so explosive was the fact that you had a hot-hitting Muncy, a hot-hitting Bellinger, a hot-hitting Turner. Now you got Mookie Betts. Turner struggled. Turner's like one of the all-time greats in Dodger history in terms of postseason numbers. Yeah. He's done nothing other than that single you mentioned. Same thing with Bellinger. He's got a homer, but other than that, not much. Muncy, been quiet. That offense can't get to where it is unless those guys are all swinging the bat well. And right now, they're not. Just go back to the Padres series. Who was the main guy in that series? Will Smith was one of their best players in that series. That's not going to win you an NLDS, or excuse me, NLCS.
You know, I go back to the caller we had right after the Padres were eliminated by the Dodgers, and we asked everybody, are you now rooting for the Dodgers because they beat the Padres, or are you going to still root against the Dodgers? And the one caller said, you know, maybe it's best if the Dodgers just win their World Series this year and get it out of the way so that they get a little complacent. You know, if they lose again, I mean, And I'm burying them. I shouldn't bury them, you know, yet. I mean, it's the, you know, the middle of the second game of the series, for heaven's sakes. But if they lose this series, I just think that there's going to be changes made by the Dodgers. You can't just keep going with the same cast of characters and keep coming up short every single time. So
I don't think there'll be a complete. I don't think there'll be a complete overhaul, though, because if you remember, the one thing that has changed about the Dodgers is Friedman. He's been the GM, and he's been a lot smarter in terms of how they spend their money. So they're going to have some space to do some things if they move on. They signed a couple guys, a few of the bullpen guys, to one-year deals. So they have been pretty good about how they spend. It'll be interesting to see because you're right, Chris. You can only keep running your head into the same brick wall so many times before it's time to change it up. And they could be on the cusp if they go out in this series, for sure, especially if they lose – in the fashion that at least they're losing right now and they lost yesterday, no offense. That's getting to that point.
Yeah, that's very surprising. Tampa Bay and Houston just getting underway at Petco Park. They're in the first inning, scoreless there. And then the Tuesday night football game, 21-10 at halftime. Tennessee Titans leading the Buffalo Bills. All right, I think... Yeah, 21-10, I said. What is that?
That's the Titans
was the
guy.
Call.
That's the Titans
guy. That's
the guy.
Call from, yeah.
That's
the...
Oh. Or I thought you that be... was more. I thought that was more sound from the guy being chased by the cougar.
Oh no! That
could have been.
That would have scared the cougar away for sure. But I think this is way better.
I can't believe that cougar didn't turn around, put its tail between its legs, and just sprint in the other direction.
I know
that happened.
I know someone's gonna have to catch up with that cougar and ask them what they're thinking.
I'm thinking we better get to our countdown
after a little bit of traffic.
Gwen and Chris like to rank things. Not college rankings, not athlete rankings.
So what's your point?
But their own rankings. And these rankings can be very serious.
Top five ways that we like potatoes.
Top five pizzas.
Top five ways to beat the heat.
I like where this is going. Giggity, giggity, giggity.
The countdown starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, LeBron James just won another championship, if you're not aware, and got us thinking that some of us old guys are still pretty good athletes, huh, Tony? You know what I mean?
Indeed.
Always rooting for the old guys, although it's pretty comical for me to say the old guys and then look at my age compared to LeBron James, but it's okay. I will.
Hey, that's considered old now.
That's right. I'll put myself in his category. Old guys in sports. Thought we'd do that today. Countdown top five athletes right now that are 35 years or older.
Number five.
Still performing at a tremendously high level. And I will start. I don't have any fun ones on my list today. I always try to sneak a few in, but my list is pretty straightforward, I think.
Okay.
Number five is Albert Pujols for me. He's 40 years old. He's not playing at the highest levels, but he did break Willie Mays' home run record this year. And still getting the job done for the Angels from time to time. And still one of the great players in baseball history. So I couldn't find a baseball player over 35 that I liked better at this moment than Albert Pujols. Although there probably is somebody if you look deeper. I went Pujols as number five on my list.
Yeah, great minds think alike. I also have Pujols as number five on my list. Listen, Pujols is one of the few. I wasn't a big jersey guy in terms of getting opposing teams to get it signed.
Oh, yeah, you got the jersey, yeah.
Pujols is certainly one that I knew immediately when I got to the big league. This was a jersey I better get because I was going to see him enshrined in Cooperstown one day, and I still think that holds to be true. I think Pujols, throughout his career, is, in my opinion, the greatest right-handed hitter I've ever seen play and played against is Albert Pujols. So he belongs on this list. He's number five for mine as well.
Yeah, Hank Aaron, Willie Mays, Albert Pujols. I mean, I'm just talking about right-handed hitters. Clemente.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, most of the guys – not all of them, but most of the guys that you see that, you know, in the Hall of Fame and, you know, the heroes of baseball, left-handed hitting is an advantage.
Yeah, definitely.
Number four.
But Pujols, he's been remarkable. And he's been so consistent for so long. My goodness.
That is the part I appreciate the most. You know, growing up a Gwynn, consistency is something we hold dear to our heart.
Right.
Although I wasn't able to accomplish that consistency.
Yes, you were.
Albert Pujols exemplifies that to me. That's why he'll always.
I mean, it's hilarious to me. They go, here we go with highlights from the 2005 NL Championship Series.
Right.
You know, and it's
ready to go.
Yeah, it's that guy. And there's Albert Pujols hitting 3 home runs in the game. I'm like, really?
Right.
He was in that game? God, he's been doing it forever. All right. Number four for me on my 35 and older top athlete list is 45-year-old Tiger Woods.
Could you stop? Are you reading my list?
Yes, I can barely see it there beneath the screen. No, I'm not. I did not have no idea. Eldrick made my list. He won the U.S. Open. What did he win? The Masters?
Scraby? Yeah, he's still Masters champ, surprisingly.
He's still the defending Masters champ. That's right. They haven't played the Masters. So even though he's, you know, not week-to-week competitive, still the reigning Masters champ, and he's still Tiger. So, sorry, Tony. I'll let you go first on the next one if you want to.
No, I think our list has got to eventually move away from each other. But number four on my list is all Tiger Woods. Listen, it's been a weird year, so we haven't had a chance to see him on the course all that much. By the way, the Astros took a 1-0 league homer by Jose Altuve. But, yeah, he has to be on this list. I mean, I know golf has an advantage because they can play a little bit longer than a lot of the other sports. But, nevertheless, he's still, as Graby just mentioned, he's the defending Masters champ at the age of 45. So he's got to be on this list.
Number three.
All right, number three on my list, I shared this. They're both 39 years of age. They're both still at the top of their sport, which is remarkable because their sport does require running around, sometimes running around for 4 or 5 hours, and that's Roger Federer and Serena Williams. Hope I didn't steal yours again, Tony. Federer, I would have put Nadal on there, except he's 34, so he's not quite 35, but the fact that Federer is still one of the big three on the men's side, remarkable, and Serena still, she hasn't won a Grand Slam in a couple of years, but that's the way you still measure Serena Williams. I mean, she's still the player to beat in every Grand Slam tournament. And even though the youngsters are starting to catch her a little bit, I still think what those two players accomplish in their sport, because it's such a tough sport. I mean, out there by yourself, like I said, 4 hours sometimes. Federer's been hurt a little bit, but still remarkable, both of them. And they both are all-time champions in their sport.
All right, number three on my list is the GOAT, the NFL GOAT, Tom Brady. Clearly, he's going to go down as the greatest quarterback to ever do it. And he's old. He's old as dust. And he continues to go out.
He's old as dust?
He continues to go out and play at a high level. It's been a little bit below his level to start the season. But remember, he's in a new system, new team. So I'm giving him a pass, but he still deserves to be pretty high on the list. I put him at three.
43-year-old Tom Brady.
Number two.
He's number two on my list, Tom Brady, for all the reasons you just said, none of which I appreciate because he's been beating the stuffing out of my team for my entire life, it seems. But can I tell you, this guy's still playing at a pretty high level. You know, it's amazing when they fell behind the Chargers last week, kind of like last night, but what was it, 24-7, they were down, and you just look at Brady and you're just like, you know what, he's still going to win this game.
Yeah.
You know, 43 years old or whatever, it doesn't matter. He's got the smarts, he's been there so many times, and yeah, he's probably going to go down as the best ever to play quarterback until somebody else comes along, like Tua.
The only way you feel like the game is in hand if Brady's on the other side is if it's a game like the playoff game he had in his last playoff game in New England last year, like where it was just completely obvious they were losing. That's the only time you're comfortable with a Tom Brady on the other side of you. He's just that good.
I would say the only time I ever felt comfortable when the Dolphins were playing him was when the game was over. Like, they were walking off the field and shaking hands. Then I thought, oh, okay, they're going to win this game. That it?
Oh, that was your number two, huh? So it's me.
Yeah, that was my number two. You're up.
Number two on my list is Serena Williams.
Oh, good.
For all those reasons you mentioned, Chris, she's had a rough go in terms of getting to finals in her last few majors and not being able to come away with the title. So, you know, she hasn't been able. Is it to tie or to pass Steffi Graf?
She's trying to tie Margaret Court, actually. She's
Margaret
already
Court,
passed
excuse
Steffi Graf.
Me.
Margaret Court's an old-time player, won a lot of her Grand Slams in the Australian Open.
Did they name the court after Margaret Court?
Yes, it used to be called a tennis surface, and then they changed it.
After she was so great.
Right. Number one. I think we both got the same number one. He's the king.
The king!
LeBron James. He's only 35. He's actually young compared to the rest of this group.
Yeah.
And that's bad news for everybody else in the NBA because I don't see him going anywhere, Tony. And that means that the Lakers are going to be the team to beat for the next at least 2 or 3 years until I see him at least be a half a step slower. But if even if he gets a half a step slower, he gets 2 steps smarter.
Right.
And
right.
He gets another step and a half more determined. And that's just all really bad news for the rest of the NBA because I don't know, you know, what team they're going to put together in Milwaukee and what the Clippers are going to try to do and, you know, what everybody else is going to try to do. But whatever team LeBron James is on is going to be the team to beat.
It's just amazing to me that he almost enjoys – it's almost like he's enjoying the aging process, whereas most guys are combative against it. They're fighting against it. He is just whatever he loses physically, he gains mentally, it seems like. And that's what's made this run very impressive for LeBron James. He's the model that all athletes are looking at now, right? This is how you take care of yourself. This is how you conduct yourself off the court. And there's really not a whole – there isn't anything negative you can say about him. He's just been that good of an athlete, that good off the court, and he deserves the number one spot. As he does. All right.
I agree. He's
there's
got
our top. There's our top five active 35 and older athletes list that we put
Thanks
together.
Thanks for putting me on the list, guys. Thanks.
Yeah, you definitely deserve what
you're I just hit 35
with your
in
kicking
May,
muscle.
So.
You and your
you're
kicking
You're not even
muscles.
Ahead of me.
Touche.
I don't
you're
know
younger
about that.
By a wide stretch.
You're going to get you in the top five and you're not ahead
that.
Of me.
All right, let's get to break. Wow, we got some breaking NFL news on the other side when we come back. Gwen and Chris, happy hour.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.